Jesus was at table with them. He took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. He was known to them in the breaking of the bread. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. This is a formidable pulpit. Wow. It's really massive. I like this. So, it is a pleasure to be here with all of you today. And I want to start by thanking Father Jerry and Father David for inviting me to come and be with you this weekend. Father Jerry and I have known each other for some time, and he's visited our parish in Wisconsin. Jerry and Clara have, and it's always good to see them, and it's always wonderful to leave 50 degrees in Wisconsin and to be able to come and be with you. It was 65 degrees when I left the hotel this morning, and I've got some relatives here in town, and they were complaining about how cold it was. I said, this is wonderful. I'll take 65 degrees any day. And I want to also thank all of you for being here this morning, for allowing me the opportunity to speak to you today. It is truly an honor and a privilege to be with you. A little bit about myself. My name is Father Chris Keough. I am the chair of the National Church Planting and Development Commission. So I work with the primate, Archbishop and Patriarch, Most Reverend Craig Bates, and work with him very closely, and I work with the House of Bishops very closely. As a matter of fact, I meet with them. They meet twice a year, and I'm always on their agenda, and so I have reporting to do with them as we work toward building the kingdom of God and reaching the people of this nation with the saving message of the gospel. And I have to tell you, and on behalf of the House of Bishops, they are excited about what you are doing here. And I'm excited about it. I may be more excited than some of you. I just think this is fantastic. This is a really wonderful work of God that you have going here. And the House of Bishops are watching you. So if it feels like someone's looking over your shoulder, it's not just Bishop Kessler, it's all of them. Because what they are excited about in the CEC are growing, thriving churches that have really embraced the love of Jesus and made a commitment to take that out into the world. And you're on that list. I want you to know that. So indeed, it's a privilege to be here, and I get to see a lot of different churches in the CEC in that role of being chair of the commission. I go all over the country and I consult with many parishes and rectors, and we have some very exciting things going on in our little church, our corner of the kingdom. And far too many to tell you about. So what I encourage you to do, if you don't already, is to go on the internet and read the CEC home news page, poke around on there. As a matter of fact, the National Church just launched a couple of new websites, and they've consolidated some. We have a new international church website. The CEC is in 25 countries worldwide, and there are some very exciting things going on. And us English-speaking CEC people, we're in the minority by far with what's going on in the rest of the world. But it is an exciting time to be in this church and to see the move of God that's going on. Well, a little bit about myself. I come from northern Wisconsin, and I was ordained a priest in the Episcopal Church in 1993. So I've been in parish ministry for a long time. And I joined the CEC about 4 years ago. And it was truly a calling and a homecoming for me. The Lord had a mission for me, and I had to answer that call. And I can't imagine being anywhere else. And what I discovered when I joined the CEC is that in my travels, I had been CEC all of my life. I didn't figure it out right away. But That's exactly who God made me. And through every step of the way, God was with me and with me on this journey. He accompanied me, led me, and guided me as I walked this path. Now, there were plenty of times when God had a clear path for me and was clearly directing me to take this particular route, and I decided to go the other way. Has anyone had that experience? No. Okay, well, it's good to see you. But God says, you know, I wanted you to go this way, and you went that way, but okay, let's go over here for a little while, and then you get to, it's like your GPS. God is saying, recalculating. And no matter which way you go, it recalculates to try to get you where you're supposed to be. And that is the kind of God that we have. So I started this journey many years ago. I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church and have a great affinity and love for that. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine who, 12 years my senior, he, when I was 12 years old, was 24 in a monastery, and he went off to become a missionary priest in Indonesia. And after 30 some years of doing that, he has just now come back to the States to retire. And I had a chance to see him in St. Louis a couple of weeks ago, and I was able to tell him that you realize that your influence on me as a young man led me to answer this call to the priesthood. And there are many things, you know, upon which I can look back and say that God's hand was in those in my journey. I went to the University of Wisconsin, the Stevens Point campus, for a couple of years. On Wisconsin. Is that on your, can we? Okay, never mind. Jerry's with me on that one. So, Father Jerry, thank you. I worked in a paper mill, which is quite common in northern Wisconsin. And I sat in a little shack way on the other end of the parking lot, and the pulpwood trucks would drive in with making their deliveries, and they would have to stop at the shack and drop off paperwork, and then they would go in and leave the wood. And I sat there from 2 o'clock until 10 o'clock in the evening, and that was my regular shift. And I sat in this little shack by myself, and I listened to Christian radio and people like Chuck Swindoll and Charles Stanley, John MacArthur, some of the great radio preachers, of course, Billy Graham. I listened to all of these guys. And even though I was brought up in the church, it was at that time that I truly gave my heart to Christ. And from there, the Lord took me on yet a continuing journey. And that journey included meeting my wife, Dawn. We've been married 27 years. And as she'll tell you, it's been like the best 18 years of her life. You know, she says a few of them weren't so good. Many different career paths. You're not recording this, are you? I should have asked that before I start talking about Dawn. No. The best wife a man could ever have. But truly, she also gives her... gives her heart and time and ministry to the church. And we've been able to walk this journey together. We have a 25-year-old daughter. She teaches English at a public school outside of Seattle, Washington. She also went to Wisconsin. She is our only child. When she was born, I was at that time working in professional baseball. I was an umpire in the early 80s, years and years ago. And she, you know, was newly born at that time. So for the first 2 years of her life, I was gone for a significant part of it. You know, the baseball, the professional sports world, you know, the season starts with spring training in March, and I would leave and come home in September. And remember, this is the days before cell phones and before email and everything like that. My wife and I had a schedule twice a week where I would make a collect call. Does anybody remember collect calls? Yeah. And that was you know, how we communicated, and we would, you know, maybe mail things back and forth. So it's a very different world today. So consequently, our daughter, who is a wonderful Christian young lady, and she volunteers in women's shelters and in homeless ministries, and as I said, is teaching in a public school. I missed a good portion of the first 2 years of her life. And so Dad has been trying to make up for that for a long time. So consequently, she gets anything she wants. But, no, we couldn't be more proud of her. And she is doing fantastic things. And it's just, yet again, another part of the journey upon which the Lord has taken us. Well, to cut to the chase, that journey has led me here to you. And what I'd like to do this morning is reflect for a few moments upon the journey that we heard about in Luke chapter 24, this road to Emmaus. Because like my story and the things that I can tell you about me, each one of you can tell me about you and how the Lord has worked in your life and where he has taken you and where he's leading you. We see a journey on this road to Emmaus. Let's set the scene. Luke 24 in chapter 13. It says, that very day, we're talking about Easter Sunday, I think we're talking about Easter Sunday there, but it's right after the resurrection. These two fellas, one named Cleopas, they're journeying from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they're going 7 miles. They're 7 miles away from Jerusalem on their way to Emmaus. 7 miles doesn't seem like a lot today, but imagine walking 7 miles. That's not something that most of us do anymore. Even when we're exercising, you know, we might walk a mile or two or run a mile or two. They've walked 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and it says they're talking about the things that they'd seen and heard, referring to the passion of Jesus, his arrest, the trial, the crucifixion, the death upon the cross. And as they're walking along, they are on this journey, and it's a journey filled with grief and sadness. They thought this Jesus was the one to save them. They thought that he was truly the Messiah. And things did not turn out the way they expected them to. And so as they're walking along, they've got a long time. They've got 7 miles worth of walking to reflect upon the events that happened and to be in that profound grief that they experienced. And it says, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself drew near to them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. We read a lot of commentaries that say, well, they didn't recognize him because they were probably crying and they couldn't see clearly. And Jesus in his resurrected appearance looks different, and there's all kinds of explanation. But I like to think that if the Lord didn't want to be recognized, he just wasn't recognized. Because, look what happens. Jesus says, what is the conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood and looked at him, and they said, are you nuts? Haven't you heard of what's going on? How could you not know what happened in Jerusalem? Everybody knows. My own paraphrase there. One of them named Cleopas answered, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And Jesus, I love this because of course Jesus knows everything, but Jesus says, gee, what things? And he opens the door for them to tell the story of their journey and the experience that they had with the living Jesus. And he listens to them. He listens to them. They said things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet mighty indeed before in word before God and all the people, and our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. And we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. They said, and besides all this, there are people saying that they've seen him, that he's risen from the dead. And Jesus walks with them on their journey through this profound grief, through this confusion, through the times of not understanding, and he simply listens to them on their journey. And then at the end of hearing all of the things that they have to say, it says that Jesus begins to explain more fully to them what has happened. And Jesus points out, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, the things in Scripture concerning himself. This is such a dynamic scene, and it is something that every one of us, if we look at our own journey in life, should be able to relate to. As we seek to build and nurture our relationship with Christ, we must realize that he is with us on this journey every step of the way. And that whether we're walking through profound grief, you've lost a loved one, and you've got that pain inside that feels like it's never going to go away. That's the pain these men felt, and Jesus is walking with them. Even in the most joyful times of our lives, when we feel like we're going to burst with excitement, we're so happy, Jesus walks with us at that time. Whatever our journey is, he walks with us. And sometimes we have to look back and see how God's hand worked and brought us to where we are today. And I can do that with several things. I had different opportunities in my life. I could have taken this job and gone there, or this job or over here, or whatever it is. And for one reason or another, however it happened, here I am. And sometimes I have to thank the good Lord that I didn't get what I wanted. I did not know what was best for me. Thought I did, but I have to admit that I didn't. So here he is. And he opens himself up to them after hearing everything they have to say. And then he sits with them at table. And we're told that Jesus was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And that's exactly what we do here. We come to the Lord's table every Sunday, and he reveals himself to us in the bread and the wine of Holy Eucharist. A couple of key factors here. When we're on the journey, we have to open ourselves to Christ. We have to be talking to him because he's listening. When we're on the journey, we have to listen to what he's trying to teach us as well. Because Jesus reveals himself to us and does it through Holy Scripture. And then when we're on that journey, we have to take the time to sit, to be with one another, and to break bread at the Lord's table. It's a pretty good formula. It's a pretty good formula. I was excited to preach on this passage today with all of you, because first of all, I get to talk about myself, and that's my favorite subject. It's nice to talk about yourself. Isn't it nice to be able to talk about yourself and to know somebody's going to listen? I mean, that's, you know, a guarantee you've got with the Lord. Say whatever you want about yourself, because he's there with you. But I'm also excited about this passage in that it came up today because you are on a journey here. You're on your own personal journeys, but you as St. Paul's, you're on a journey. This is a stop where you are right now in this physical place on a journey that the Lord is walking with you. I know you've got a piece of property and you've had a design for a potential new building, and all of those things are very exciting. And it's a process, and it's one step after the other. And it's a journey that all of you are on together and that all of you can share. And what were these two doing as they traveled down that road to Emmaus? They were talking and discussing with one another. They were communicating. They were sharing their feelings. Yes, gentlemen, we have to do that sometimes. Sharing their feelings. Oh, my gosh. But in a good way. They were honestly communicating what their thoughts were. And Jesus was with them. Now, whether it's a time of profound grief or a time of great joy, or if it's just a time of uncertainty and anxiety, know that the Lord is walking with you on this journey. And continually open yourself up to Him and then seek His guidance and the revelation of Himself through Holy Scripture. Let God talk to you. And you're not going to get all the answers all at once. When my mother took me home from the hospital, they didn't, on the way out the door, hand her a blueprint for Chris's life. I'd have messed that up anyway, so, you know, I'm glad they didn't. How many of you parents have had those times, especially with the first child, where you just feel like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I don't know if I can do this. I don't think I know what I'm doing. Well, that was me. I mean, the first child, you've heard the story, the first child, you know, when they drop the pacifier, I mean, you don't even pick it up, you just get a new one out of the package, you know. Maybe if they drop it, you know, you will sterilize it, and, you know, put it in boiling water, and you get the gloves out and the tongs and everything like that, you know. By the second child, you're rinsing it off in the sink and then putting it back in their mouth, you know. The third child falls on the ground, you pick it up, you pop it back in their mouth, and you keep going. We don't have all the answers, and we don't have a step-by-step manual saying this is what you will do. And it's because you're unique. God doesn't want cookie-cutter Christians. God doesn't want us all to look the same or to be the same. I mean, just look around the room, and we're different people, and we have different gifts. And the church has different gifts, and all of the gifts of the Spirit are present in the church. We just need to, you know, flip the switch and turn them on and use them and take advantage of them. Because God made you individually unique. God made this congregation unique. And God wants you to serve in this unique place. And one of the things I don't do as a church growth and development consultant is go from place to place and tell them, here's the program. If you do this, everything's going to be fine. Now, there's all kinds of things to talk about and all kinds of ways, you know, to administrate a congregation and ministries to engage that will be fruitful. But you're not going to be able to do what I do in Wisconsin and do it the same way here. It's a different place. You're different people. You have unique giftings. You know, and the drive that we do every fall to, you know, come up with winter coats and boots and gloves and hats and everything, you probably don't have to do that here. So I challenge you, as you're on this journey, to discover your unique gifts. Because even the unique gifts that you have, God's put them all together in this one place so that they can work together. And through the guidance of your rector and your rector's council, and through your prayer and discernment, you will figure out exactly what path you're supposed to be on. And let God lead you and guide you in that. Because that's, again, I'm so excited about this passage because I know God is with me every step of the way. And even when I'm saying stupid things, He listens. He will correct me, lead me, guide me, show me himself. And as you embark on every phase of the journey that the Lord has before you, make sure you're doing it with him. Discerning in prayer, faithful in worship, faithful in supporting one another and being here. Notice that they were at the table with Jesus. If they're not at the table, they don't get the bread. They were there. Hugely important. So again, I thank you for giving me the privilege of being with you today. I'm excited to see what's going to happen here in the future. Just from the very beginning of the worship this morning, I feel the Spirit of God in this place. And such an exciting time to be with you, but just such a wonderful time of worship, and I thank you for that. Father God, I thank you so much for bringing us here today, for this wonderful congregation and for the life and witness of each person in this place. Lord, help them reach out to others who may not know the saving message of Jesus in the gospel. Father, give them discerning and prayerful hearts that they may know the path that you would like them to embrace. Lord, I ask that you continue to bless this place, that as your name is lifted here in worship and glorified, that it will ever be so, and that the ministries of this congregation will go forth into the community proclaiming the saving and loving message of Jesus. Father God, in the precious and holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, do we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.